I'm Carrie Nolan. It's Monday, April 25th, and time for WQXR's Washington Report Online. David Sanger joins us now, as he does every Monday. He's the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. Good morning, David.
Morning, Carrie.
David, WikiLeaks is back. Last time it was a huge trove of State Department cables. This time it's more than 700 classified reports about the detainees at Guantanamo Bay. So what did we learn?
Well, what we learned, not surprisingly, Carrie, is that Gitmo has been a place in which justice has been applied by very inconsistent standards. The documents included a matrix of how you judge the risk levels of each of these detainees. You know, high risk, in other words, of returning to terrorist activities, or medium or low risk. And yet when you go back over the documents involved during the Bush administration, you discover that in the end, a lot of high-risk detainees were sent back. That often has to do more with what country they came from. For example, a lot of Saudis went back, a lot of Europeans went back, but almost no one, even if they were considered low risk, were sent back to Yemen, because the theory was that the government had no way to go deal with them or retrain them. You discover, of course, that the biggest sources of information against many of these detainees are other inmates at Gitmo, and that the reports that they offer up to the interrogators are frequently inaccurate. And finally, you learn that some people are held for very long periods of time on the flimsiest of charges that fall apart as soon as those come up in front of a military panel.
In a few cases, people were arrested and sent to Gitmo because of mistaken identities. Did any of these get cleared up?
They did get cleared up, but it took a very long time. There was a case of one farmer who was caught with a number of papers in Arabic that appeared to involve making explosives and so forth. That seemed to be very damning. It turned out later on that he had obtained these during a move into a house that involved some other fighters, and he didn't even read Arabic, but it took him several years to convince anybody that he really had no connection with the papers that were found on or around him. You've had other cases where interrogators were completely fooled about the identity of someone, and when they went back, it turned out that they returned to terrorism, including several in Pakistan.
There are some strange cases in the files, like the one about a 32-year-old man from Tajikistan named Omar Abdullayev. Tell us about him.
Well, you know, he arrived at Guantanamo when he was just 23, which was just a month after the prison opened. And he's been questioned now for 9 years, and the Russians and officials from Tajikistan have come in to talk to him. And the most serious allegations come from another prisoner, who says that he was told by Abdullayev that he was trained by Al-Qaeda in poisons and explosives. But it's a very strange case, because he's part of this 47 whom the Obama administration has judged too dangerous for release, but they don't have the evidence necessary to hold a military tribunal. And it's not even clear that they fully understand who he is. So he's in one of these murky situations where here he is now in his early 30s. He's been held for 9 years, and there's no prospect that he's going to be released anytime soon.
Interrogators, of course, have been trying to determine the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden for a decade now. What do the documents tell us about how successful they've been in getting information to track him down?
What they tell you is that there was pretty good information on where he was up through the time that he went into Tora Bora in December of 2001, and that basically there's nothing terribly useful on him since. And that's completely consistent with what we hear from the CIA and others about their frustrations in having any reliable information on his whereabouts other than the general area of the Pakistan-Afghanistan border.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you, Carrie.
New York Times Chief Washington Correspondent David Sanger. I'm Carrie Nolan, and that's the Washington Report on Classical 105.9 FM WQXR.